shedding a ray of light into the world, and why not indeed when we're dealing with Generation Z, or is it Generation Z? I don't know. We'll talk about that in a matter of moments, because it would seem that the majority of 11 to 14-year-olds believe that they could one day change the world using science and engineering. We've actually got a young example of Generation Z in the studio here. We'll be talking with Thomas Bartley in a few moments. But to address this recent survey by Shell that suggests that doing good is high on the agendas of 11 to 14-year-olds as they aspire to make a real difference in the world and their communities. Two fabulous individuals. First of all, fuel scientist extraordinaire at Shell. That'll be the amazingly talented Emma Wyatt. How are you, Emma?
Hi there. Good morning. Very good. Thank you, Alex. And you?
Excellent. And we've also got University Challenge star and indeed judge and indeed full-time maths teacher at East London Science School, the awesome Bobby Siegel. How are you, Bobby?
Good morning, Alex. I'm fabulous.
Excellent. Bobby, we'll come to you first, because you're clearly in the sharp end. I mean, you've experienced that whole notion of, as I say myself, when I was teaching in comprehensive education, you can still tell because you have that nervous tic every so often that manifests itself in terms of a bit like Vietnam. But are things developing? Are they opening up? Is it a case of, as we see the whole strategies of students, that, you know, actually the prognosis is good?
Yeah, I think the Shell research shows that we should be optimistic. Young people do want to change the world through science and engineering. And what's really fascinating is that they want to help other people. And young people often get a lot of stick in the media. People say, oh, young people are only in it for themselves. They just want to be YouTube stars or football stars. But actually, we've seen through Shell's research that young people actually do want to make an impact. But the thing is that they think that actually it's too hard to get a job in these industries. I think a quarter of the people surveyed thought that. And one of the great things that I'm involved with them as well is the Bright Ideas Challenge. And this is a great way for young people, 11 to 14, to actually sort of put their ideas from school into practice in this fabulous project that Shell have organized.
No, we're talking about 11 to 14-year-old students. I think, Thomas, are you 40, 15?
15 now,
15,
yeah.
15, so just 15. Is that like Generation Z minus 1 in terms of the sort of system? I mean, Thomas, do you want to make a difference in terms of, you know, or do you worry that you don't have the right skills to pursue a job in science or engineering? What's your own experience?
Well, I think it is important that no matter where a child comes from, of that age, that they are given those equal opportunities. I think it's all well and good saying that they have that ground and that base to build on, but a lot of it education for a start is obviously a big, there's a lot of disparity in the country from where you are from around that. I would say, if you put your own individual hard work in, regardless of whether or not what area you come from or what school you come from, then I think that really does start you off on a good note.
Which I've got to say, even though you're just outside that 11 to 14 bracket, I mean, Bobby, that's quite an encouraging thing from Thomas himself to sort of be talking about those kind of issues.
Yeah, and again, I think when you speak to people like Thomas, you realise that they do want to make a difference, and as long as the opportunities are there. And I think Emma knows a lot about this, but the UK, we're crying out for people to get into the science. So things like 59,000 annual shortage currently in the UK. So we really need people to get involved with projects. And I gather Emma can probably say from a more sort of...
I mean, let's move on to Emma, because clearly you're one of the key advocates for women in the STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering and mathematics and so on. Are you seeing changes that's coming around in terms of, you know, more girls going into the sciences, or is there still this sense that actually some boys as well think, oh, it's too difficult, I couldn't possibly do that, I must do something completely different?
Yeah, so I think it's an area where we've definitely seen really great progress over recent years in terms of the number of women going into science, engineering, maths, technology subjects, both in terms of what they study at university and also in terms of the careers that they're looking to pursue. But you're right, there is still this, I think, this perception that it's quite difficult, and that's not unique to women. I think that's across a number of the young people who think that it's really difficult to get roles in this area. And for me, one of the things that we try and tackle with the Bright Ideas Challenge is some of this concept around this being too difficult, or if you're not, you know, sufficiently into science and engineering, then it's not for you. Because the Bright Ideas Challenge is really about opening up the competition to a team of people and bringing together a team who have really diverse skills, everything, you know, from creativity through to communication, through to the science, more typical science and engineering skills, to bring to life their idea, submit that idea for the competition, and understand as part of that how they are trying to tackle some of the issues that are out there.
Well, already putting some flesh on those theoretical bones and so on. Jenny Finch, this very day, actually, reminded me that she had the skill to identify a challenge that I was faced with technologically when you actually identified the problem with my mains lead for my computer, Jenny, which I was very impressed with. So that's great. But, I mean, Jenny, from your own perspective, does your kind of own experience, because, I mean, you've gone through, I mean, you're a writer now, clearly, and a very successful one from that point of view, but you've audio technician and so on. Did you find, again, when you were working through the system, that, again, people were saying, oh, Jenny, an audio technician, how strange. Is that a proper job for a young lady to do?
Yes, I began as a theatre technician, and I was basically told that I'd wasted a grammar school education. And so I ignored them and went on and trained. And I've never regretted it. It's been very useful, to be honest.
Emma, are we still faced with this notion where, you know, people like to label right at the very early age and say, no, sorry, you can only do that, you can only do this, and so on and so forth?
I think certainly less so than we were, but I guess it's still there a little bit. And to a certain extent, it's kind of inherently built into a lot of the stereotypes and a lot of the imagery that's out there in the world in terms of, you know, a certain male or female gender is attributed to a certain role. And I think there's a real opportunity for us to continue to challenge that, to make sure that there are the right opportunities perceived to challenge those stereotypes being out there.
We were connecting earlier in the week with colleagues over in Las Vegas for the technological celebration that takes place there with the National Broadcasting Conference, Bobby, and one of the things that was coming across from that is that the millennials, effectively, they would sort of kind of say, oh, well, the world's in a dreadful place, we can't do anything. But this Generation Z that we start off with is looking to make a difference. You know, the notion that rather than becoming the next YouTube sensation or TV celebrity, a younger generation is setting their sights on making the world a better place for all. Is that coming through to yourself, you know, teaching obviously at East London Science School, that actually you are saying, yeah, it's the world's going to be in good hands because finally people are actually saying we're going to do something about it?
Yeah, a lot of these young people, they are really engaged with the world around them. You know, for good or bad, social media does mean that young people are connected very quickly to young people in America, in Europe and Australia and Africa. So all around the world, they're these sort of positive networks. And I think if we can, as a society, harness these young people's desires to make a difference, and again, like with the Bright Ideas Challenge, an actual chance for them to try and be the creator of the future ideas. And again, one thing that students often say to me is, oh, they'll say, sir, but I'm not a great scientist. But actually, to be in science, you don't necessarily need to be a great scientist. You could be someone that's a great communicator, someone that's a great project manager. So there's so many opportunities for people with different skill sets that are there to be used for the benefit of science in general.
Thomas, any closing questions or thoughts for either Bobby or indeed Emma?
Well, I agree, really, in that it is a very important thing that children nowadays do get involved in the world, because it's certainly true that stuff that is going on now in the world, politically, nationally, internationally, is all going to affect the next generation. And I think social media, the age of social media, has definitely made the news and current affairs more accessible for people my age, who can maybe make their own views upon what's going on and be more aware of the current situation. Yeah, absolutely.
Classic observation. Okay, Emma, how can people get in touch with this particular Bright Ideas Challenge? What's the best way forward, given that this is the third year running, for this fabulous opportunity for 11 to 14-year-olds to start putting up creative ideas to power cities of the future?
Yeah, so the best way to get involved is to go to the website. So there's loads of resources there for teachers to help them and for students to take them through the Bright Ideas Challenge. So that website is www.shell.co.uk/Bright Ideas Challenge, and there's loads of information there about how to go through the challenge, resources for teachers. Closing dates, Friday, April the 27th, 5 p.m. on Friday, April the 27th, so you have up until then still loads of time available to get involved and enter the competition.
And as somebody, Emma, who was one of the first intake of girls to Robert Gordon's school in Aberdeen, where you were the only girl in the physics class, that sounds like a movie that needs to be made. I know, who's going to portray you when we do the life story of Emma Wyatt?
I'll leave that one for the casting director if that ever gets made. Yeah,
we'll get Jenny on the case. I think we'll just swirl our way through from that. Two final questions then for both Bobby Siegel and Emma Wyatt. Have you both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
It's been fantastic. Yeah, really great to hear the views in with you in the studio. Thank you so much for that.
Excellent. And I take it you'll be able to return in the not too distant future. Will you update us in terms of the successful entries in this competition?
Yes, so I'm one of the judges on the panel, so definitely we'll keep you up to date with some of the amazing projects that the young kids come up with.
Fantastic. Bobby Siegel and Emma Wyatt, we salute you. Take care now.
Break love to science in an act of good defiance. I broke her heart. As I pulled apart her theories, as I watched her growing weary, I pulled her apart. Half and heavy conversations about the furthest constellations of our soul.
Science and Faith by The Script on Southside Broadcasting, Channel 1 Vastpedia, and beyond on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. And yes, in a matter of seconds from now, we launch into the Fly Me to the Moon autopsy of Borough's last game and upcoming games with Rob Nichols, Thomas Bartley, and Jenny Finch.